You can take your Bibles, and if you like, you can go to the Gospel of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Hey, do I have an eraser, Kim? How about a napkin, honey? That'll be good. Chapter 14 in the Gospel of Luke is where we're going to begin this morning. And we read in verse 27, thank you, honey, I meant for the whiteboard. That won't work. I'll be there all day. Luke 14:27 says, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." A disciplined one, a trained follower. It says that the individual has to bear their own cross and come after me. In other words, follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. The title of this teaching is called The Crosswalk. The Crosswalk. And what I want you to know, if you think about a cross, there is a literal, physical instrument of crucifixion, which is the cross.
And also metaphorically represented.
Also a figurative usage of the cross. And crosses that we bear, burdens that we carry, come in many shapes. They come in many sizes, and they come in many weights. Crosses are promised to us from the Word of God. God promises that there will be trials and tribulations. However, many times the personal cross that you bear is interrelated to your old man. The personal cross that you bear is interrelated to where you live. It's related to the obligations that Christ placed on us, the obligations that God places on us. Many times the cross that you will bear is interrelated to your willingness to obey God's word. These are just a few categories that the burden of the cross will manifest itself in your life. You know, for the most part, I think when people hear the words pick up your cross or bear your cross, they think of some sort of burden placed on them in order that they could follow Jesus Christ. And this may be the case. However, I believe the majority of the time, this is not true. In other words, people will tell you you can't smoke, or you can't curse, or you can't chew gum if you're going to be a good Christian and follow Christ. There is a great difference between the commandments of God and the commandments that man would endeavor to burden you down with. One produces freedom and life, the commandments of God. The commandments of man produce bondage and death. In Matthew chapter 15, there's a record from verses 1 through 9, if you can take the time to read it sometime. But verse 2, Jesus Christ is asked a question by the Pharisees and the scribes. And the question is, why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? Jesus has a confrontation with those people, and he tells them about their commandments, about their burdens that they lay on people. And he says in verse 9, you worship me in vain, because you teach for doctrine the commandments of men. The commandments of men. You see, we're not looking at the commandments of men. That's not what we're concerned with in this teaching. We're concerned with the commandments of God and those obligations that God would place on you in your life. Now, they vary for each individual. They also vary to your willingness to accept those obligations and walk in the path that God has chosen for you to walk in. I'd like to look at a few records in the Bible regarding crosses that an individual must bear. You remember I told you that the crosses we bear are interrelated to our old man, to where we live, to obligations that God places on us, that Christ placed on us, and to our willingness to be obedient and do God's word. I'd like to show you a record in God's word. We're not going to read the entire record, but this particular record has all of those attributes in it. All these places are located in it. If you go to 2 Samuel chapter 12, you can read the record in 2 Samuel chapter 12, because in 2 Samuel 12, the story of David and Bathsheba is recorded. Now, Bathsheba was somebody else's wife. Uriah was the man she was married to. Uriah was a military man. He was in service in David's army. David saw Bathsheba. Bathsheba was hot, and so David said, I want her, but the problem was she was a married woman, and David didn't have the right to take another man's wife. That was wrong. So David cooked up this scheme that he talked to one of his generals, and he told the general to send Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, to the hottest point of the battle in the front lines and make sure that he would die there. Well, David's general, being an obedient general, did exactly what he was commanded to do. And he sent back a letter that Uriah was dead. Well, this was all after the fact that, you know, David turned around and got this girl pregnant. In the meantime, he tried to get Uriah to come back on leave and lay with her and whatever, but he wouldn't do it because he was a loyal man. He was a man of integrity. So this was David's plan. He couldn't cover his tracks for the evil that he did, and he was the leader. So what he turned around, he just had the problem eliminated, much like our government does today that we know little about. Sometimes they can't cover their tracks, so they have problems eliminated. Well, the plan seemed to work out well until a little guy named Nathan, who happened to be a prophet, came and he confronted David. And he told David this story of an owner's precious little lamb that had been stolen and slaughtered by another person, against whom David quickly demanded the penalty of death. And when he told David that, and when David said, let me know who he is, the prophet Nathan turned around and said to David, you are the man, you are the one. So at that point, David owns up to the truth of what happened. Deep down inside, you see, David loved God. He feared God, but he just messed up. He made a sin, screwed up, just like everybody does. And David had to bring himself to say perhaps three of the hardest words found in any language, Greek, Hebrew, English, I have sinned. And that's what David did. When David said, I had sinned, this was the beginning of David's forgiveness and healing. Confession of sin was the cross that King David bore that day. Did you know that confession of sin is a cross that you are confronted with bearing at times in your life? That God says to you, you have done such and such. And you accepting and confessing the reality of the truth of God's word and accepting the burden placed on you that that will bring, or you saying no, results in whether you will be obedient to God or disobedient. Without confession of sin, God's forgiveness is impossible. See? So if you're covering for a sin in your personal life, you don't want to be doing that. You want to go to God, and you want to make sure that you get it straight. Take up the cross of the confession and the forgiveness that needs to go with it, as King David did, by confessing what was needful to his authorities. That's what he did. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, But whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. See? This is one of the crosses that people are confronted with in bearing, whether they choose to bear it or whether they choose to ignore it. David's temptation was interrelated to his old man. The lust in his old man grew up when he saw Bathsheba. It was interrelated to where he lived. We were talking Thursday night here after fellowship about Solomon for a while. And I made the statement, you know, perhaps if you were in the position that Solomon was in his life, you would have sinned too. Nobody could have told Solomon anything. I used the example of Bill Gates. Today, Bill Gates is still bound by the law. He can't go out and murder somebody. He may have everything else in life, but he can't go out and murder somebody. He will be held and brought to justice and executed if he's in a certain state, right? But in Solomon's day, he didn't have that. Solomon did whatever he wanted to do, whenever he wanted to do, and his word was God, pretty much on earth. So perhaps when you get in that position, it's a bigger temptation than what we think, but it's easy to sit around and, you know, judge a person or condemn a person and say, well, I never would have done that, until you actually wear his shoes. David's temptation was interrelated to where he lived, what he was. He was the king. He could do anything, so he thought. His temptation was interrelated to the obligations that God placed on him. God told him not to do such and such. God told him that the king should read the word daily. God told him that the king should live righteously. God told him, you see, he was tempted in that area not to obey God. And his temptation was in the willingness to obey God's word. When Nathan confronted him, up until Nathan confronted him, but David's heart was for God. You see, David chose to carry the cross placed on him by Nathan. He chose to bear this burden. The cross came by way of Nathan. Nathan went and confronted David. And then David chose to accept that which Nathan brought to him. He chose to bear that burden. The burden of the murder, the burden of the death of the child, the burden of the sin that's going to come into the family of David later that you can read about. He chose that. He accepted that cross. He didn't turn away from it. He didn't say no. He didn't have the prophet killed. He realized the truth that was being spoken by David. And he said, you are right. I have sinned. I need to do this. I accept this burden. That's what he did. He grew up. He chose to bear that cross. What happened if David refused to accept Nathan's reproof? Would have been a different story in the Bible, maybe, huh? We can only speculate. What happens here to us when we refuse to hear God's reproof in our lives? See? Could be different things, too. Well, you know, when you get into the Word of God, you get born again. That's my illustration here. This board represents the lifetime of a believer. This is the commencement where that individual believer would be born again and his lifetime. And over here at the very end of the board would be the gathering together for the church. So when you get born again, you hear the word of God, the hope of all who hear him, the help of all who come. We sang that in the song this morning. You hear the word of God. You accept Jesus Christ as Lord. You confess him as your Lord. You believe that God raised him from the dead. But during that confession, during your salvation, during your birth process, you come to realize that you've been Lord in your life. You come to realize that you've done some wrong things in your life. You are confronted with your past, perhaps your present. You are confronted with the truth. And you have to accept that which God is laying on you or refuse it. If you accept it, you get born again. So there's certain crosses that God lays on you with the new birth. So to illustrate this, I'm going to draw a cross like this. Make this cross here. Yeah, I know I would use this. There you go. I'm not a very good cross drawer, but it'll work. Okay? And down here, we're going to draw a cross like this. So we got these people here. They're walking along, and they get born again. Now, the top person perhaps was drinking, did some drugs or whatever. That's why he has the size of this cross. He's confronted with it. So he's going to stop. He's going to bear the burden of that. And this person here had some things in his life. And they're all pretty much the same. But they all get born again. But this guy down here is a pretty good guy. So he only had to change a couple little things in his life, as you'll note. So he just has a small cross to bear at that point in time. Just a little one. Well, they all get involved and they start to go to a church. You understand? And as you go to a church, if the minister is worth his salt, he'll begin to teach you the truth of God's word. And as you go along and you begin to learn the truth of God's word, and if the minister, again, is worth his salt, things will begin to come up in your life that you realize that maybe aren't lining up with what God wants you to live and how God wants you to live. So God begins to deal with you on a personal level. That's what he does. He begins to deal with you on a personal level. And God, for instance, in Psalm 119, let's go there. Let's say God begins to deal with you regarding a sexual sin. And in Psalm 119, in verse 37, we read, "Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way." Okay? Now you hear that, you come to church on Sunday, and the minister teaches that. And you read in the Word of God, "Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way." And you perhaps are dealing with a sexual sin in your life. Perhaps it's hardcore pornography. Perhaps it's soft porn. Perhaps it's the sin of wandering eyes, looking at the opposite sex all the time in a wrongful manner. Or perhaps it's pornographic fantasies that you have in your mind. Whatever it is, God talks to you in your heart while you're sitting there in church because the minister read that verse. Now God's dealing with you. Now you got born again, 2 weeks go by and you're going away and you hear, "Turn my eyes away from vanity." Now you know what you got to do? You got to make the decision if you're going to continue to bear this cross that God's laying on you. But you see, it's not the cross of the new birth. This is the cross of sin, sexual sin. SS, sexual sin. That's what the SS is going to stand for. So this guy up here, let's call him Bob. And let's call this one Joe. Let's call this one Sue. And this one is going to be called Kim. These are all three letters, that's why. And this guy down here, we're going to call him Pete. Almost three letters. So Bob hears the teacher's message. And Bob says, "You know what? I'm going to decide to do what God wants me to do." So he continues to walk, and he bears his cross. But it's not the same cross because it's a sexual sin. So it's a little bit bigger cross now. Okay? And Joe hears it. Joe says, "Sounds good. It's wrong. I won't want my children doing it. I'm going to line up with the Word of God and not do that anymore either." So Joe's a good egg here. And he bears his cross. Sue works at a gentleman's club. And this cuts across Sue's, where Sue really lives. This gets into her pocketbook. Because you know when you get in somebody's pocketbook, they get upset with you. So you know what Sue says? Sue says, you know what? You may know what you know about Jesus, but you don't know nothing about my three children that are home, and you don't know nothing about how I have to work to support them, and you don't know nothing about the bills I have. Okay? And then I have to do this to survive. So you know what Sue does? This is what Sue does. Sue takes the cross that's placed on her, and she complains to God. And she tells, now she'll never tell you that she's telling God, because you know the minister's going to get blamed for it, of course. But she's actually complaining to God and telling God he doesn't know what he's talking about. And so Sue doesn't accept what the minister's bringing forth as God's word. And so you know what happens? She complains. And so Sue's cross starts out as this long in the beginning, but you notice here her cross is a little shorter, because she's starting to push off these burdens that God is placing on her. And she's saying, I don't want to do this in this area of my life. Now, she's still born again. She's still got a cross, you understand? She's still moving ahead. But she doesn't want to accept this particular area where she's confronted at. Now, Kim's a sweetheart. She never had a problem with this area at all. So you know what? It doesn't even bother her. And for her, see that cross there? Same size as it was at new birth. She just doesn't, the shoe fits, what? Wear it. Now Pete's a good egg. Never had a problem with it either. So you know what Pete does? Pete's got the same size cross as he did before. And he's doing great. Doing great. But they're growing, and as they're growing, they're maturing, supposedly, and they're getting older in this journey of life to where Jesus is going to meet them at the end. And they all know this. They all know this. See, they have to make a choice. They have to make a choice. Are they going to resist the devil so he flees? Or are they going to say no? Are they going to say no? Well, let's say they keep moving along, and lo and behold, they're at a church again, and on Sunday morning, the minister teaches on Ephesians 4:25. And Ephesians 4:25 says, wherefore put away lying. Let every man speak truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. And they're all sitting in the congregation. And you want to know something? God begins to move, and God begins to deal with Bob and Joe and Sue and Kim and Pete in another area of their life. Because God wants to straighten them up, because God wants vessels that are holy vessels that he can work with. So, put away lying. Now, Bob, he's a lawyer. Bob sees this tractor trailer coming through with the T part of the cross when he hears the put away lying part. But you want to know something about Bob? Bob's a humble man. And so you know what? Bob hears it. And you know what Bob does? Bob says, you're right, Lord, and I want to be right before you, just like Zacchaeus was. May have been a tax collector, may have been whatever, but he said, you're right, Lord, and I want to be right before you. So Bob gladly bears, remember I told you there's different sizes and weights? Bob gladly bears the burden that the minister brought to the congregation that morning and said, I'm going to accept that. Joe's got no problem with lying. He's a good egg, so his cross is the same. Sue, you know, she thinks to the night before where her little daughter asks her, what do you do for work, Mommy? And she says, oh, I'm a secretary. And what is that? That's a what? That's a lie. And Sue says again, rationalizing in her mind, I can't let my children know what I do. I have to continue to lie. I have to continue. God, what are you asking me to do? Don't you know how hard it is for a single mother? And sweetheart, don't you know? So you know what Sue does? Sue takes the cross that the Lord has given her to bear, and now it's about this big. Because you know why? Because Sue don't want to hear what God's got to say. So she complains to God, take this away from me, I'm not doing it. So she cuts the pressure down. Kim's wonderful. That's why I married her. She just got her new birth cross. Let's put hair on Kim and a smile. She's beautiful. Pete, you know what? Pete likes to play the lottery, likes to gamble. So this hits Pete because he never told his wife what he does with this extra money. And you know what Pete says? You know what, Lord? You're right. I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't lie to my wife. I shouldn't. So you know what? Pete started out here. But by the time Pete gets here in this walk in his life, what's going on with Pete's cross? Getting bigger. But Pete is an okay dude. You know why? Because he chose to accept what God gave him. And he chose to bear that cross. Now it's getting bigger, but Pete's still moving. Now we got one over here that's getting what? Joe's doing good. Bob, his is getting pretty big. But they're still moving. That's the point. They're all individuals. God deals with them all individually in an individual manner. Well, lo and behold, you go to church again. I don't know why you would, but you go to church again next Sunday. The minister's teaching. And minister reads verse 26 of Ephesians 4. You know what verse 26 says? It says, be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So Bob hears that. And let's give Bob a break, because Bob's got no problem in getting rid of his anger. Because being a lawyer, you got to get rid of it quick, especially with the judges and the legal system. So Bob, he goes along. He's still got his cross to bear, but you know what? Nothing bigger, because Bob don't have a problem in his life with anger. Now Joe, on the other hand, Joe's an angry type person. He gets mad. He likes to hold grudges. He likes to plot revenge, because Joe is an ex-military person. So he really thinks bad things when he shouldn't think. And he's confronted with being angry and sin not. Now is he going to accept the burden that God is placing on him by way of the minister, because everybody knows the minister is a bad guy. That's why I love my job. You may refer to me as Snidely. Mr. Whiplash to you. Reverend Whiplash to you. That's even better. Joe says, I need to knock this off. God is confronting me by way of this minister this morning. I recognize that this is from you, Lord. I'm going to accept that. So you know what happens to Joe? Joe's cross gets bigger. But that's okay, because you know why? Because Joe said, I'm going to accept that. Sue, she's fuming by this point. You know, first of all, God's got the gall, unmitigated gall, as the Grinch would say, to tell her about sexual sins, dealing into her personal life. Then he tells her, don't lie, right? And by this time, she's really fuming, so then he's telling her, don't be angry. So she's really PO'd, to say the least. So, Sue, bag this. I don't want to hear none of this stuff, right? What's happening to Sue? Her cross is getting smaller, because you know why? Because she don't want to hear nothing the preacher got to say. I ain't bearing this cup. I ain't carrying these burning around. I don't want to hear this reproof. Then we get to wonderful little Kim. And Kim, she's never mad at nobody. She gets upset. She lets it go. She smiles. So what's going to happen with Kim? Big smile, nice hairdo, get a perm this time. And she's just bebopping through life, not bothering nobody. But she still got the cross to bear that God had to deal with her in certain things, right? Pete. Old Pete. Pete likes a drink. And when Pete drinks, he gets real mad, especially at the bartender. Thinks he waters his drink down. Pete knows he's an angry person. Pete knows he holds grudges, holding a grudge against his ex-wife for years. But you know what Pete said? I got to bury this junk. The word of the Lord hits Pete, and he says, I'm going to change. And right at that point, Pete's cross grows a little bit longer. Because Pete accepted the word of the Lord. And another day goes by, and 2 and 3 days, and another week goes by, and they all are living their lives. And they're all getting a little bit older, and a little bit grayer, and supposedly a little bit wiser. A little bit wiser. Well, go to Matthew 16. Everybody's doing good. Matthew 16, look at verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again on the third day. Then Peter, one of his best friends, Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But Jesus turned and said unto Peter, Get thee hence behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense to me, for thou savorest not the things of God, but those things of men. And Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and what? Follow me. Follow me. So you know what's happening? Bob's going on through life. Bob's got this cross that he decided to bear, and he's doing good. But Bob's at a meeting one time in the bar with the boys, and some of his fellow lawyer buddies have a party that's going to go on, and they have this shady job that they want to push through politically so they can get in the right position to make some money. But they want to solicit Bob's help in order to get this job and in order to get this law passed. So you know what they say? They say to Bob, Hey Bob, give me that cross that you're carrying. This cross of Jesus Christ, this cross of being honest, this cross of having integrity and wanting to do the word. Give me that cross. This isn't going to happen to you. They're trying to take Bob's cross away. And just like Jesus said to Peter, Get away from me. This is what I've been called to do. This is what I'm doing in my life. This is what I have chosen to do in my life. You cannot take this away from me. You're an offense to God. Bob stands up like a man. He says that to those lawyers. And he doesn't let them touch his cross. He doesn't let them touch the obligations and responsibilities that Jesus Christ has placed on him and God has placed on him. He doesn't let his peers, his community, talk him out of his commitments and responsibilities. He doesn't let his profession talk him out of his commitment and responsibilities and obligation that God has placed on him. Here's Joe. Joe's confronted with the same problem. And you know what? Joe, they come to Joe and they say, Hey, Joe, we got a problem here. We need your help with. You know that we need you to forge a document. Now, if you forge this document, you're going to get a lot of money, and everybody's going to leave you alone on the job. But if you don't, it's going to mean a big mess for everything. So you know what Joe does? Joe slips. Joe lets them take the cross that has been placed on him of honesty, of integrity, of all of these things. And Joe turns around and he forges the document. Now what happened to Joe? Cross got smaller, right? Because he gave up a little bit of his life. Sue? Sue's not going to let nobody touch nothing from her. But she's okay with it. So hers is going to stay approximately the same. And we come to Kimmy. Kim says, I'm going to die before I give up on the word of God. And so it happens to Kim. Her cross stays the same. Her hair stays the same. Then we got Pete. See Pete? Pete's family come to him. And they try to talk him out of the word of God. They try to talk him out of the commitment that he made. And they tug on his heartstrings, saying, you shouldn't be there, you shouldn't do this, you can do this, you can do that, it'll be easier, come back, we love you, we'll do this, we have this for you. And they paint this greener grass on the other side, trying to talk Pete out of the commitment that he made. But you know what Pete does? Pete says, no way. I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know how the Grinch's heart grew 3 sizes that day? Well, that's what happened to Pete. That day, Pete got a full-size cross. But Pete took this upon himself willingly. You understand? Pete took it upon himself willingly. He didn't let them talk him out of his commitment, of the burden that was placed on him. Some burdens you can share with people, Galatians teaches us. Some burdens you cannot. Well, the Word of God continues to be taught in this church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And God continues to deal with each believer in this church as that believer will allow God to deal with them. And the minister teaches them one day a scripture out of 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 13 says, there had no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And so they all hear that, and they know the way this teacher works. He's telling them there's temptations coming, but God's going to be faithful to them. Okay? But they know he doesn't normally leave things like that. They know that before they get out of there, he's going to say something else to upset the congregation. Because this is just his nature that God's called him to, I guess. And he continues to read in Ephesians. And you want to know something? He gets down to verse 29 and says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, Bob's got a problem, because Bob has a lot of corrupt communication going on in the profession that he's gainfully employed in. But Bob's got a great heart. And Bob hears this, and God begins to deal with Bob. So you know what happens to Bob's cross at that point in time? Well, it grows. And it's heavy. But you know what? Bob don't complain. Bob says, you're right, Lord. No corrupt communication should come out of my mouth. I should be this way. I should be that way, Lord. You're absolutely right. Joe got talked out of things here, remember? But here, Joe goes on and says, you know what, Lord? You're right. This is the way it should be. But because Joe got talked out of it, his cross is still short, but he grows a little bit in this area. Because he willfully refused to obey God in another area. Sue's been cursing God and the minister since he'd been going to the church. Yeah, so Sue's not doing too good. That's her cross. That's not her arms. Sue's plan in life is to get this thing down to something you can wear around your neck. they got our honey. Kim. Kim doesn't have too much of a problem with that. However, she does once in a while have a nasty side to her. But she realizes she has a nasty side. So you know what happens to Kim Cross? It gets a little bit bigger. But she's okay. She goes on in life. All right. When you're right, you're right. I'll take it and move on. Good attitude to have. Pete's getting muscles. Because he started out little, and you see how his cross is growing. Mm-hmm. But Pete's a pretty good egg, and he doesn't have a problem with this area of life. So, you know, Pete's just got whatever God gave him. And that's how it works. You know, Sue, she never heard the verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, where it says, "Looking unto him, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your what? Minds. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin." But Sue complains. So one day, in their walk, a personal challenge comes to each individual's life. And this is what the challenge is. We'll depict the challenge as this. Here's the challenge. Bob comes, and there seems to be a gulf that needs to be spanned to get over to the other side. So you know what Bob does? Bob looks through his life. He realizes God has been faithful all his life. He knows that he's done things all his life. He knows that he's been in hard situations before, and the Lord has always come through. He remembers that verse that the minister taught him, "No temptation that is common to man, but you can do it. God will make a way." So God speaks to Bob in his ear, and you know what Bob does? Bob does this. He walks across the challenge in life on the cross. Bob gets to the other side. But it was because Bob stood faithful, and it was because of the challenges that Bob was confronted with in life, and it was because of his obedience to accept those burdens that God was placing on him by way of the minister, and to rise up and be obedient, say, "Yes, Lord, I will be obedient. I will do it." Because he said, like David, "I have sinned." He was honest. All this time, all these burdens, he's able to use to jump across. Now, Joe got talked out of the Word of God by his family at some point. So when Joe gets here, Joe talks up to God and he says, "How do I get across?" And seemingly there's no answer from God, and Joe just looks at the chasm. He just looks at the chasm. Sue, you know what Sue does? Sue, all her life, she yapped to God about pornography. She yapped to God about sin. She yapped to God about being angry. She yapped to God about lying. Now she turns around, looks up at God, and starts yelling at God, "How do you expect me to cross this?" She didn't want no pressure. She didn't want no change. She didn't want nothing in her life. And then when she gets to a problem that she needs a cross, you know what she does? She still blames God. God's bad if you do, God's bad if you don't. You can't win if you're God. So she goes up. That's where she stays. Kimmy. Kim started out pretty good. Been pretty good. When she got to certain points in her life, you know what she did? She changed. So you know what Kim's able to do? And what's Kim do? She walks across. This time, she's really happy. New hairdo, perm on top, highlights, everything. And she's a much thinner version, Kim. You will note. I might say. See, Pete was just a little old quiet believer, someone you wouldn't think would amount to very much. But you know what? Pete was faithful. And as Pete was confronted in church week after week after week, you know what Pete did? Pete grew. And he grew. And he grew. And he grew. Little by little, but he was faithful, and he grew. Now Pete gets to this chasm that's got to go. But what's Pete going to do? Pete's over here. Writes a song. Don't worry. Be happy. Goes on to become a millionaire. You get the point? Proverbs 19. Sue, she wanted to squawk and complain and whine to God how hard this is. But she didn't know the challenges that lay ahead for her down the road, did she? Had she been faithful, she would have been able to face those challenges, and she would have been able to cross that obstacle. Proverbs 19, verse 20 says, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." Hebrews 12:11 says, "No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous." You know, when Bob heard about lying, and Sue heard about pornography, and Pete heard about anger, and Joe heard about filthy communications coming out of their mouth, he was probably pricked in his heart, probably felt bad. He wasn't blessed about that. Look, it's not supposed to bless you, because it's sin. Get it? When you're confronted with the reality of sin in your life, it's not supposed to bless you. It's supposed to sober you and bring you to a place where you make a commitment and a willing confession to obey the word of God and change the areas of your life that you need to change, or thumb your nose at God, because you got to see the thing for what it is. Thumb your nose at God and say, "I'm going to do what I damn well please." God knows that. "No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby." Listen, Sue, I know you don't like this, and I know that it's going to be hard, but in the end you'll be better off for it. I don't want to hear it. Whose choice is that? And in the end, she's what? She's not better off for it. She's not better off for it. Go to Proverbs 24. Remember I told you over here, Jesus is going to meet you? This depicts a person's life, this board, this storyboard. Well, you know, Jesus is over here. This is where Jesus is. And he's sitting at the reward table. And you know what Jesus got? To get from here to here is one category. And this is how long you got to be. Then the next one's a little shorter. Then the next one's here, and then here, then here, and then you got the dots that are just born again. And you take your cross and you place it across this chasm because you've faithfully worked for him, and you're able to get these rewards here out of this door. Then behind door number two are lesser rewards. And you take this size cross to get them. And door number three are lesser rewards. Door number four is a curtain. Door number five is a can. Door number six is birth, new birth. Because you can't span anything, because they're counted up at the end, because Jesus takes and keeps score. Proverbs 24:10 in King James says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. The New Jerusalem translates that verse, if you lose heart when things go wrong, your strength is not worth much. Jesus did not faint carrying the burden of the cross to the end. It says that he reconciled us back to God by the cross. Peter tried to talk him out of what he was going to bear. People will try to talk you out of obligations and decisions and commitments that you have made towards Christ too. Peter's best friend tried to talk him out of it, one of his best friends. Jesus' own family tried to talk it out of him. Will yours do less? No. You have to realize the commitments that you make to God. And then when God challenges you and places these burdens on you, you have to accept those burdens and carry them through. For each individual, it'll be different. But at the end, in the end, it'll produce the peaceable fruit of righteousness for those that are exercised thereby. I'd like to close in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. There is a man who's very familiar with crosses. 5 times, 40 stripes from the Jews, he was beat. 3 times with rods, once he was stoned, shipwrecked, night and a day in the deep, journeys often, perils of water, perils of robbers, perils of his own family, countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, among false brethren, and above all that, the weight of the churches comes upon him, what? And he was familiar with crosses to bear, but he bore them. He didn't ask anybody else, he didn't squawk about it. And when he wanted to squawk, you know who he squawked to? God. 2 Corinthians 12. Of course, we're talking about the great apostle Paul. Verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn of the flesh. In the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing, for this thorn, I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. He doesn't look for them. He doesn't look forward to them. But you want to know something? He realizes that when that happens, that gives God and that gives Jesus Christ a chance to show themselves strong in his life. That's why he's strong. Not of his own strength. And Paul had some great ability. But he didn't depend on his own ability. He didn't depend on his own knowledge. He depended on Jesus Christ. He depended on God. And when we depend on God, we too can become strong in our time of weakness. Let's pray. Father, thanks for your word, for your love, Father. And Father, if you've touched anyone this morning or anyone that hears this teaching, Father, you've placed these burdens of obligation on them to line up with the Scriptures, Father. Allow them, Father, to think through their decision before they say no to you. And may they cheerfully, Father, accept the things that they need to change in their life and then faithfully carry it out and bear those crosses that you've placed to them so that they can be better persons for you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. One more song before...